In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the second gospel reading that we heard, the Lord said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." In ancient times, they didn't have banks. And so when people had treasure, they buried it. Sometimes they buried it inside the floor of their homes. Other times they buried it elsewhere. And particularly if there was some invasion that was taking place, people would bury anything of value, and then they would flee. But often it was the case that they never were able to return to their home, and so that treasure would be lost. No one knew where it was. And so in this very short parable, the Lord is comparing the kingdom of heaven to that treasure. And then when a man finds it, he hides it. Well, you might say, he found it. Why did he hide it? Well, he's hiding it. For one thing, he doesn't own this land. So you might also ask the question, isn't it a little bit dishonest for him to go and buy this land from this unsuspecting owner and take this treasure? Well, you have to keep in mind that parables are really not intended for you to press them too far. But actually, according to the Jewish understanding of possession, it was basically finders, keepers, losers, weepers. And if something was lost and someone found it, they had a right to it. But this man went ahead and hid this treasure because the treasure was of such volume that he wasn't able to just stick it in his pocket and walk on his way. Because if he had tried to cart this all off in a way where everyone could see it, he would have opened himself up to thieves. And the fathers tell us that, like that man hiding that treasure, we have to hide the treasure of our faith to some extent. Now, what they clarify about that is it's not that we don't let people know what we believe, but that we don't live out the gospel in a way that is seeking the praises of men. Because if we do that, if we're seeking the praises of men, we allow them to rob us of that treasure. The Christ in the Gospels tells us, "Let your light so shine before men so they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." But that light only shines for God when you're doing that for the right reasons. So having secured this field for himself, the man is now able to safely carry the treasure of the gospel to his heavenly home. And then the next very short parable is very similar. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." In the ancient world, they didn't have pearl farms, and so pearls were much more valuable and rarer than they are today. And unlike gold, one of the advantages of a pearl is that it has great value, but it's very small, it's very portable, it's something that you could carry with you inconspicuously. And so it was something that was highly prized for many reasons, also because it was just inherently a beautiful thing to have. So in this case, you have a man who's seeking the very best pearls, but one day he's going around looking for pearls, and there's someone trying to sell him this pearl, but it's the best pearl he's ever seen. It's perfect. The person who's selling him is probably unaware of its value. But he goes and he sells everything that he has because he wants to buy that one pearl, because he knows if he can make that deal, he'll be set for the rest of his life. Now, the reason why this gospel reading is appointed today is because we're commemorating St. Dionysius the Areopagite, and he was very much like this man. He was seeking pearls of truth. He was a philosopher. He spent his time at the Areopagus listening to what people had to say and trying to earnestly seek the truth. And then one day the Apostle Paul came and began to talk about Christ, and he found the pearl of great price, the thing that he had been seeking all of his life, and he gave everything that he had for that pearl. He devoted himself to Christ, he became a Christian, he later was made a bishop, and he died as a higher martyr because he so valued that pearl. In both of these parables, there's a similar message. In both cases, you have a man who finds something of great value and they sell everything that they have in order to buy it. And the point that is being made there is that the gospel, the life in Christ that the gospel tells us about, is of such value that we should be willing to give everything that we have for it. We should offer ourselves entirely and unreservedly for God, because that's the only way that we can get it. The men in these parables couldn't have got that field if they hadn't sold everything. They couldn't have gotten that pearl if they hadn't sold everything, but they did, and they got something of much greater value than that which they gave up. Also, when they gave up their previous possessions, there's no hint that they did so grudgingly. No one had to put a gun to their head. They didn't sit around and complain, "Oh, I can't believe I have to give up all these things." They were anxious and happy to get rid of all those things because they actually understood the value of what it was that they were seeking. But then Christ tells us a very sobering parable, which tells us that being a member of the church is not sufficient in and of itself. He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." The fathers tell us that the net that Christ is talking about there is the church. And the church cast a very wide net. And anyone that responds and wishes to be a member, after having been instructed, we receive him into the church. And of course, also people are born into families that are Christians, and so they're baptized at a very early age. And so they come into the church. So we catch a very wide variety of people. And among those people, there are those that are really true believers, and then there are some that are not. And in the end, we see that the good are separated from the bad. So just being in the church by itself is not going to save anyone. The one thing that we should keep in mind, though, is that unlike a good fish or a bad fish that can't do anything about its nature, we can choose to be the kind of fish that the fisherman is looking for. We can respond to the gospel and become what we are supposed to be, or we can neglect the gospel and be the kind that does not belong in the net. There are those that enter the church sincerely enough, but then they lose interest. And they can start off as good and then end up as bad. And then there are those that maybe enter in the church in a half-hearted way, or they grow up indifferent to the church, but then at some point they become serious about their faith. And so it's how we end, not how we begin, that's most important. But the grace and the power to be the kind of person that we need to be is there in the church, and that's what we have to seek. For those who are in the church but who neglect the gospel, they're like the man who owned that field and had no idea what was actually in that field. He neglected it. He was totally ignorant, and he was oblivious to that treasure that was there. If he had only looked around and explored that field and done a little digging, he would have found it, but he ignored it. Likewise, they're like the man who originally owned the pearl but had no idea of its real value, and so it gave it up for something that was of far less worth. The question for us is whether or not we're prepared to give all that we are to gain that pearl, to gain that treasure, to recognize the value of what it is that we've been given it for those of us that are already in the church and haven't discovered that treasure. And then it says, "Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? And they say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." So what is the householder that Christ is talking about here, and what are the treasures new and old that he's referring to? St. John Chrysostom tells us that the treasures that are being referred to are the treasures that we find in both the Old and the New Testament. And the householder is one who has actually studied them and made them in the truths that you find in them his own. He says, "So that as many as are ignorant of divine scriptures cannot be householders, such as neither have of themselves nor receive of others." In other words, they don't own anything of value or don't recognize it, and they haven't received instruction from anyone else. but they neglect their own case, perishing with famine. And not these only, but the heretics too are excluded from this blessing, for they bring not forth things new and old, for they have not the old things, wherefore neither have they the new. And what he's referring to there is there was a heresy in his time called the Marcionite heresy, and there were other heretics that had similar views, but the Marcionites in particular rejected the Old Testament entirely. They claimed parts of the New Testament, but they rejected the Old Testament and said that the God of the Old Testament was evil, the God of the New Testament was good. And so he's saying because they reject the Old Testament, they don't have the new either. And then he says, even as they who have not the new, neither have they the old. And here he's referring to the Jews. He's saying they have the Jews that rejected Christ, I should clarify. They have the Old Testament, but they don't have the new. And so because they don't have the new, they can't really understand the Old Testament. And he says they're deprived of both. For these are bound up and interwoven one with another. Let us hear as many as of us as neglect the reading of Scriptures to what harm we are subjecting ourselves, to what poverty. For when are we to apply ourselves to the real practice of the virtues who do not so much as know the very laws according to which our practice should be guided? Imagine the man who owned the field with the treasure and didn't know that it was there. And imagine if that man was living in poverty, his family was going hungry. And yet he had a treasure that if he only went and did a little bit of digging, he could have alleviated all of his problems. That's like so many of us who we wonder, why is my spiritual life such a mess? Why do I not have the joy of salvation? Why do I not have answers to my prayers? In so many cases, the reason why we are that way is because we are neglecting the treasure that's out there in the field, that Christ is hidden in the Scriptures, and all we need to do is to avail ourselves. Search the Scriptures and find the treasure that is hidden within them, and be not hearers only, but doers of the word. And do not neglect the gospel. See the value of the treasure in comparison with the trash that we occupy ourselves with, and cast off that which is of only temporal value in exchange for the eternal riches of the kingdom of God. Amen.